Metering One Life Proprietary Limited does not provide in this metering session any investment, financial products, legal or taxation advice of to the suitability of the products and services described in this session for your particular objectives, financial situation or needs. Financial products and investment advice given in this session include or cast an opinion with general advice only. Any testimonials or discussion are provided voluntarily without payment, inducements or other benefits and are from genuine clients of Mentoring One Life Proprietary Limited. This advice has been prepared without taking into account your particular objectives, financial situation and needs. You should either assess the advice yourself or seek the help of an advisor. Financial product advice is provided by representatives of Financial Planning Works Proprietary Limited, ACN 003-780-407, Australian Financial Services Licensee Number 247180.
So, good evening all, and welcome to the mentoring program tonight and down in Melbourne. And we have Harry Chirilambis on tonight to support me in this great little presentation. We were at the pod meeting on Monday night. We had a great turn up there, and a whole team turned up in that pod, which is a little dream team. And it was such a great meeting that I decided I would see if we could put this team on tonight. So you get a pod meeting dream team on. And we've got a number of other questions. So welcome to you all. I'm going to just... I know we've got Harry, I can see, in Bullen, and Mary. Who else is there? Jane?
Hello.
Hello, and Sigrid.
And there you go, Steve. Jeff Jacob.
And Jeff Jacob, good. And you're going to be on today, Jeff, talking to us, and Peter Jenkins. And Sherry, and let me, who else? Mary.
You're muted.
Raymond. Who else is there? Sailor.
Aaron Sheldon. Okay.
Oh, good. Welcome to the Gold from the Gold Coast.
Sharon from the Gold Coast.
Oh, good. Gold Coast, very highly represented here.
Steve Harris from Corindai Beach.
And gang from Melbourne.
Of course, Steve would be there. And who was from Melbourne?
Dean and
Michael O'Day.
Dean.
Or Anna O'Day.
Paul. Yeah, big turnout, sounds like. And Harry, you're there?
I am. Good evening, Roy.
Good evening to you. Let's get into this. And 1 second, Harry. I'll just get all the sound down from the muting, so it sounds pretty good. There's not too many noisy people on here, thank goodness, because some people leave their TVs on and all that kind of stuff, and it is very hard to hear. So we're going to find out what Harry's been up to. Welcome, Harry. What have you been up to, Harry?
Roy, we've had an interesting day today, actually. We had a... Got an email just before lunch today from one of the agents we work with, and it was in relation to a property that is 8 doors up from one we're already doing a dual occupancy on, and the email was along the lines of the lady would like to speak to us because she's seen what we're doing, and she would like to do something similar, and the email read that she was open to all options, whether that is we work with her in a joint venture, whether it is we buy the property from her, or whether we just assist her to get a DA and on-sell the property with a profit.
My goodness, isn't that great? That's what you call service being delivered around you, and people hear it, pick it up, and want to be part of it, and you can't get a better inquiry than an inquiry like that. So open and available. It's almost like, here is the box of money, help yourself, and all we'd like you to do is work with you. So congratulations, yeah. Harry. That's typical, though. It's great to see. When people think, you know, we get questions from people to say, you know, how is it that, you know, I can't get anyone to talk to me, and I can't do this, and I can't, you know, they don't want to know about these options, and they don't, and obviously you're, when success shows up, the wave is there, and it's just so simple to get onto that wave.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen overnight, did it, Harry?
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot involved in planting some seeds and watering those seeds and giving them time to grow. So that was this morning, and then by this afternoon on my way home, I got a call from the builder who's working on the same property in this street. So the first email was in relation to a property 8 doors up. The phone call this afternoon from my builder said that a lady stopped in this afternoon, and he's gotten her address and gave me the address, and she's also got my contact details. And she lives in the next street, so basically across the back of this property, and said that she's thinking of selling, and she's wondering if we'd be interested in having a chat to her about the possibilities for her site and whether we're interested in doing something with her site. So that one was this afternoon. we've had a pretty interesting day.
Yeah, very tough day. That's good. That is so good. All right, well, what do you think, Harry? We'll get into these questions because there's been some beautiful questions come through. I thought we'd get you to do that one about motivated, what is a motivated vendor and what motivates a vendor? Because that's one of your classic discussions, isn't it?
It is. And I'll just find that. I did see that question here.
It was
it reads,
from Teresa.
Could we please give an example of the distinction? And the way it reads is the distinction between the motivation of the vendor and the vendor's motivation, as often mentioned throughout your teachings on residential quick flick transactions. And that's from Therese. And the answer to that one is that, and the distinction we're often talking about, is that a lot of people are saying that they're looking for or sort of out there looking for a motivated vendor. And for me, the way I look at that is I'm out there actually, and even these examples I just spoke about, these two that we came across today, what I'm looking for there is the vendor's motivation. So rather than being out there saying I've got to, you know, you see the ads in the papers that are saying we've got a motivated vendor here, an extremely motivated vendor. Well, that's great. However, what I'm more interested in is what is the vendor's motivation? And that means, and these two, using these two that I just spoke about, and from what I've worked out so far, is one of those properties, the person's actually interested in maximising their property, and we can work with them to do that in some form of whether it's a joint venture, whether it's that we just manage that process for them and we get paid a fee for service. In any way we actually see that's going to create a win-win for us and them. Once we understand their motivation, we can actually put that together. With the second one, if I look at the conversation I had with my builder, that is someone that does want to sell their property and move on. They're looking to downsize. I would have a discussion with them around whether they're looking to downsize and stay in the area or whether they're looking to move on, whether they want a sea change or whatever it is they're looking for. And if they're wanting to downsize and stay in the area, to me that's where I can get involved in working with them. If they're wanting to move on, I would probably have a discussion around we'd be interested in purchasing their property, and what we would be looking for is the ability to just get our council approvals for doing that. And that to me is where we would look to structure an agreement to purchase. And once we've got our DA approvals, we either sell that site or move on and purchase the site and continue on with the build ourselves. So a couple of
and Harry, what do you think the motivation is of that vendor? What is their motivation?
Yeah. With which one of the two are you referring to, Roy?
Oh, either one, but I was really referring to the last one.
The last one? I'd be suggesting with the last one, if they're wanting to move on, to me it's just about unlocking some cash that's in their property, and just being able to, again, understanding that property and understanding that street, I already know where that property is. They'd be looking for something a bit more lower maintenance, a bit more ease on the lifestyle, basically just improving their lifestyle at the end of the day is what they're going to be looking for. And as I said, for me, it's just I would just want to understand, whether that is for them doing that and staying local or whether they've already got, for all I know, they may have kids up the coast or down the coast or interstate that they want to move closer to. And in my discussion with them, I would just be asking questions to find all that out so that if their motivation is to move to Melbourne, then let's get them focused on that. Let's actually, whilst we're doing our council approvals, let's start working with them on setting up some contacts in Melbourne to actually help them find the property that they're looking for as well.
Right. That's good. Well done, Harry.
Yeah. That would be the answer to that one. I believe that question.
She has a second one as well.
Yeah.
Well, I might just read it while you're looking for it. I have a couple of comments from the real estate agents with regard to meeting with the vendors directly on the property, and they have listed with them. And the comments from the agents are that they're saying this is an unauthorised approach. Whoever is happy enough to sit in on the meeting, and also continue to mention that oftentimes the reasons why an agent is engaged is because the vendor doesn't want to be involved in these processes and wants the agent to carry out the negotiation process on their behalf. After all, that's what the agent says, and she's really inverted commas, this is my job and this is part of the reason the commission is paid to me. So I'd like to give some guidance on how I could respond to this real estate agent from the position of proposed purchaser. Thanks.
Yeah. I actually had a very similar discussion with one of our $10 million club clients. And to me, that discussion with setting up the vendor meeting is about, firstly, building that rapport and the trust with the agent. And it's about, for instance, if we've got a feasibility that we've worked through and we want to have a meeting with the vendor, before I get a meeting with the vendor, I've already run I call it a rough draft. However, it's pretty close to my final on my feasibility, understanding what potential the property has. I would then sit down with the agent and have a discussion with the agent on what we see as the potential, confirm the numbers that are in our feasibility, making sure we have the agent on site to do that. And let's work on the basis that we're doing a cosmetic renovation to a property, and maybe it has potential to do a subdivision on the back of it. I would confirm those numbers along the lines of, so what would the existing home sell for on the smaller block of land? What would our land be worth at the back after the subdivision's done? And confirm that, get a sense of price point, and happy to show them the feasibility and say, okay, so this is our feasibility showing here that this is what we can afford to pay. And generally it's going to be, well, to do that, to achieve this, as you can see in this feasibility, I can actually get pretty close to what your vendor is looking for. However, for me to understand exactly the vendor's needs and be able to have a discussion with them, I feel like I'd actually, put an offer in, and I'd like to put that offer in writing. And to enable me to do that, I'd like to have a discussion with the vendor just to fully understand their needs, so that we can make sure we get that dealt with in our offer. So first of all, for me, though, it's about the agent. And in the discussion about what's the existing house worth and what's the block of land worth, and then having the agent enrolled with a line along the lines of, so would, do you feel you would be interested in selling that for us? So all of a sudden the agent is enrolled in what's next. What's next for the agent? So I would be, yep, so that's great. So obviously you've introduced me to the vendor. So you've got an agreement with the vendor there and you get paid. I would be interested in completing this subdivision and getting both these new properties back on the market, the existing home and the block of land. And you know, if you're interested in listing those, I'd like to talk to you about that. So if we can actually meet with the vendor and see if we can put this deal together, you and I can then proceed to discuss the other two sales as well.
That's sensational, Harry. And for those listening in, obviously, you can see where Harry's coming from. He's giving not just good reasons, but he's getting the agent enrolled in this whole thing. And, you know, it's just thinking about it, just thinking from the agent's point of view and enrolling them. Whereas you say, I'd like to talk to the vendor. That's when that doesn't mean anything. That's just like a request. But what Harry's got there is a pile of reasons in there. If you actually listen to it, there's about seven or different ones.
The distinction is to be able to give the agent the advantages for the agent of setting up the meeting with the vendor.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's cool, and maybe we might just stop here. And we got lots of questions, but I think it's such a powerful one, Harry. This one, because it's all about relationships. It's all about negotiations. It's all about weight on the scales, I call it, when you're moving someone across somewhere. And this is where, you know, the skill of the negotiator in the team is very important. And if it's a lone wolf that's who's a backroom person trying to do this, it's not really their profile at all. And yet someone who's very connected to people understands this in a natural way. But I think it'd be great just to open up, if you're okay with this, Harry, just to get some questions if someone wants to make a comment, observation or contribution here. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
Just before we move on to the next one, so you've heard Harry just talking away there. So everyone's online right now or open, and it's just there so that anyone can ask a question, and then we can go with that. So, does anyone like to ask Harry a question on this?
Yeah, Roy, it's Steve here.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm just having a bit of trouble trying to hear what Harry's saying there. You're coming in loud and clear, but Harry's a little bit soft.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll speak up a little bit. Is that any better now?
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Okay.
Because I'm hearing him very clearly, but mind you, he's online there, but I'm in Perth and he's in Sydney and you're in Coffs Harbour, Steve, so it is funny. Anyway, thank you for that piece of information. Is there anything you want to ask Harry or you want to make a comment? Steve, can you hear us all right?
I wasn't asking any questions, just about
that's
being
good.
Up to you, Harry, that's all.
All right, that's cool. Has anyone got any questions for Harry? Anyone got any observation or contribution?
I was just wondering, Steve, it's Karen here. I was just going to ask Harry, how does he get them involved when you're going to ask them for an option? So how do you get the agent on your side in that situation?
So that's another question, isn't it? That was the next question. I think it was you'd sent that through, didn't you?
No, I hadn't, but I just sort of hearing Harry talk, when you're going to purchase your property, you can see how you can get the agent involved, but maybe when you're going to be an option, it would be a little bit harder to get him enrolled in the process.
Okay, well, actually, it's interesting you asked the question because someone else did ask exactly that question.
Yep.
But my view of that, of course, is not difficult at all. But before Harry answers it, why would you say it's more difficult?
I was just thought it would be how it would be because the agent's maybe not going to get his commission from the sale. so he might feel he's missing out.
Okay. And how would the agent know that?
If they were there, I suppose, when you put the offer to the vendor, that would be, yeah.
Yep. And so we might just clarify two points you're making. One is that, the agent wouldn't get his commission. Well, the agent will get the commission. It's just a question of when. And secondly, why would you be telling the client or the vendor about this on your first meeting?
Not too sure.
What I'm saying is that there's a thing called projection, and what projection means is that we often project onto somebody something that hasn't already happened in our own fears and concerns, and then it becomes a reality.
Yeah.
And so what it is, we're making up something that hasn't even occurred.
Hasn't even happened. Yes.
Yeah. So. When we make the appointment, we're making the appointment to talk to them about an offer and stuff like this. We're not talking about options. We're not talking about agreements. We're not talking about anything yet. We're just talking about a price.
Yeah.
We're talking about an arrangement, yeah. And then when we get there, we're going to talk to them and find out what is their motivation. Yeah, and then we're going to think about that, and then we might come back. Now, because we've been introduced, we can come back again by ourselves if we wish.
Yes, I get you. Yeah, so the first meeting's just more finding out motivation, building that relationship.
Yeah. But I just want you to notice, can you see how you projected into that the speed in this, that it was already not going to work?
Yes.
and that's kind of just
limiting myself already.
Yeah, it's just limiting that. But that's just only one part of that question. And Harry's got some more to talk about, but I just wanted to, before he just answered it, just to figure out where you were coming from that.
Thank you.
Over to you, Harry.
Yep, thanks, Roy. And totally agree with what you just said there, Roy. We need to be very, very mindful of our projection into any negotiation. And in fact, even calling it a negotiation has its own projection. When I am first meeting with a vendor, to me it's about a discussion, it's about getting to know the vendor, it's about getting to know the vendor's needs, the vendor's wants, exactly what their motivation is, and that's all part of a discussion. And to do that, there is questions we will ask, and once we've asked the question, it's about being very quiet and listening to the response and taking note of the response. So once you've done that, and if you've ascertained that there is a win-win that you can put together, then you can continue that conversation with a very different level of understanding. You know, and if you're having that conversation feeling, well, actually I can't help this vendor, if that is the truth, then there is no point in having a discussion around, you know, any terms or any agreements or any options. However, if it is determined that, yep, we can put something together here, I can get this to meet my needs and meet the vendor's needs, then at that point you can continue that discussion. And I would normally, my offers are in writing, and the written offer is a confirmation of a discussion that's already been had verbally with the agent and the vendor, preferably both of them. To me, at the end of that conversation, it's virtually just repeating back to the vendor what they've already told you. So, okay, so you'd like to maximise your property and you haven't found anything yet that you'd like to move to, or it could be that you want to move up the coast or you'd like to move down the coast, and you're going to need a little bit of time to enable you to find the property up the coast or down the coast. And you've been here for quite some time, so obviously you'd like to maximise this, now that you're selling. So a lot of that is literally just repeating back to them what they've already said. What you really want to do before you discuss any of that is you want to have the vendor saying yes. So the vendor's got to get used to saying yes. So that is that. Say you've been here for 30 years. Yes. So you're now keen to move up the coast. Yes. And at the end of that, it then goes into, so what we would like to do, we believe we can achieve the sale price we've discussed, and what we would like to be able to help you to do that is we're just going to need some time to finalise our approvals with council. So would that be okay? Yes. And you've got them in the frame of that. You've got them used to the fact that that's all going to work for you. And this is only provided that you are in a position to help them to meet their needs and to meet your needs. Yep, so as I mentioned there, that was just in relation to really being clear on the discussion that we're having, going in there as a discussion with the vendor, understanding the vendor's needs, being clear on what the vendor's needs are, and at that point introducing that if we're looking to get some time to deal with council, or if we're looking to get some time to do some work to the property before we move in, just introducing that as a concept, getting a sense of the vendor's response to that, and when we leave that meeting, we leave the meeting with the vendor understanding that we will have something back to you in writing, and whether we choose to tell them that's going to be 2 days or 3 days or whatever that's going to be, always tell them longer than what it will take you. So if you tell them you'll have it back to them in 5 days, get it back to them in 3. If you tell them 3 days, get it back to them in 2. So have that rapport, build that trust, let them know that you do what you say you're going to do. If the meeting is set up for 10 o'clock, turn up at 5 to 10. We've got to be really clear to build that trust, because they are, in a lot of cases, trusting you or trusting us with their greatest asset, in their view anyway, their biggest asset. So to me, that, like I said, that first meeting, we're certainly not going in there saying, you know, we'd like to secure an option on your property and we want to get in and do a cosmetic renovation and then I'd like to do a sale by direction, and we're just going to scare them. It's a gentle process to have them confident in you and have them trust in you, and let them know that when you finish, you will have something back to them in writing. So that's the process that we need to take with that conversation.
That's great, Harry.